This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Is it too early to talk about Christmas? Hey, this is Kate Delaney. Let me tell you, I, like you, am a shopper because I have to go and search for what the family needs. So I'm out there and I'm in two box stores and I see Christmas decorations and Christmas presents already out. Look, we haven't hit our stride yet. We're not even out of the summer officially. We haven't hit Labor Day. What about the Turkey Day? Are you kidding? What? Forget that. What about candy and Halloween? Yeah, we just skip ahead right to Christmas. Wow. And so I thought it was appropriate because maybe it'll lift you up some of that Christmas music from Mariah Carey. She is the queen of Christmas, after all. She wants her trademark to be on everything from food, decor, to all kinds of apparel, and she's getting some resistance from a couple of singers who say she's not the ruler of the Yuletide throne. I just happen to see that in Variety. But since 1994, when she released All I Want for Christmas Is You, she certainly has dominated the airwaves. In fact, here's a weird tweak that I found out. I mean, she's made a fortune with the song, right? Annually, she gets $2.5 million. She's already raked in $72 million plus on this song. It came out in 94. There's a thing called Certified Diamond, and it's the only Certified Diamond holiday song, right? So what does that even mean, that it's a diamond song? It means that this All I Want for Christmas Is You has, according to the Recording Industry Association of America, has become that first holiday song because it sold at least 10 million units. So until just a few years ago, a track or album had to actually sell that many copies. But now the Recording Industry Association of America, like other music groups, operates on this sort of mixed consumption methodology. And they combine purchases with streaming equivalents. So All I Want for Christmas Is You started to rack up platinum plaques when it was all about sales. And then it reached this crazy mark deal because of the streaming sums that were racked up every single winter. Yeah. So do you think we'll know if Donald Trump is running for president before Christmas? Oh, I think so. I think we're going to know before the end of summer, before Labor Day is come and gone. And that's just a couple of weeks. But he has to be on the precipice of announcing that. When you think of how many, first of all, the millions that he's raked in the last week or so because of the Mar-a-Lago search, his supporters are pouring money into his next supposed campaign, meaning the daily levels are up to 300,000 a day plus. So super high. Not that he wasn't capable of raising a lot of money, but they're just pouring in. The former president's PAC brought in $36 million in the first half of the year, but that was below the $50 million in a six-month period for the first time since he left office, and now it's right back up there again, right? And some of this booty, some of this cash windfall is definitely a sign that the Don is reaping some political benefits from this revelation of the investigation by the Justice Department for potential violations of laws, including the Espionage Act. And I think with the defeat of Liz Cheney, I mean, she was just crushed, just absolutely crushed. And so many others who have won their primaries because of being backed by Donald Trump, and as far as the Republican Party is concerned, I mean, as a candidate, as a fundraiser, it's pretty impressive. I don't see how he's not going to announce, and I don't see how anything's going to change that between the next couple of weeks and Labor Day and deeper into, you know, September. What's happening is there are a lot of messages. So a PAC sends out message. I mean, this message is that's normal, and especially if there's something negative. So the messaging is in bold and all caps, and it says, they broke into my home. They're coming after you. This is insane. Do you agree that President Trump is being politically persecuted? Another one promised an exclusive 1,300% match today only. So a lot of those emails, which again is normal, go out when something like this happens. So that pack is just raking in the money, in the fundraising, which often it's the opposite because you're against the current, and that's part of the problem. It's really tough to run if you don't have friends in high places or friends in low places who are willing to back you and really, really, really watch those coffers, grow. So this, I agree that this could be, with James Carville, this could be the biggest story since 9/11. This whole document thing and the significance and what happens with the midterm elections and just the Republican Party and what's going into 2024. So, I mean, this is, you know, gloves are off all over the place. No holds barred. But what are we going to see? Because Donald Trump definitely has serious dominance in the Republican Party. The Liz Cheney loss really proves that. I'm not shocked that she lost, but this is one of the worst defeats ever of an incumbent running to be reelected. I mean, she was absolutely crushed. I mean, absolutely crushed, as were some other candidates who thought they were shoo-in to, excuse me, to get the nomination again for the offices they were running for. And this, to me, is all signs point ahead that the 45th president's overall record of endorsements is pretty high. Some would say mixed, but I don't think so. I think he's getting people reelected. Stay with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at DrinkSuperTea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
With Kay Rydell Watson. He's an author who's written a book, To Mardi Gras Wit Love. And we had such a wonderful off-air conversation. And everybody knows I have a great love and affinity for New Orleans. But his story is fascinating. So thanks so much for coming on, Ken.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for you guys having me as well.
What was it that led you to write the book? What made you decide, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to do the twists and turns of life and put it all out there? What was it that made you do that?
Well, actually, it was a challenge presented to me by my partner. Basically because I said, you know, that particular year we had such a great time in Mardi Gras. And he said, you know, well, if you had such a great time, then, you know, write me a little story on it. So that little story I sat down and started writing became 500-page-plus manuscript.
Wow.
And which I presented to him on our flight to the Virgin Islands, because every year we do like an anniversary trip. And I went to Kinko's, had it put in a binder and all that, and gave it to him in flight. And it kind of cut our trip in half, because he spent a lot of time on the beach, you know, reading it. And the first thing he said is, you know, once he finished, he was like, hey, this could be a movie, it could be a play. It can, you know, there's something about it, and whatever we have to do, let's do it as a project. And that's how it came about being. And 25 years later, I'm talking to you.
And it's so interesting, like, because there's so many twists and turns in this. And like you said, your partner, who's a doctor and has his own stories, and then how you came together and children and all of that. And then, again, this world-famous Mardi Gras celebration. Tell us a little bit. Give us one of the stories. We don't want to give everything away, but give us one of the stories in the book.
Oh, wow. There's so many. I was thinking about that, trying to decide what, if you ask me that, what story I'd say. I'm kind of thinking about when there was a situation that a jacket was came up missing somehow. And it was with one of our friends that was hanging out with us. And it kind of took over the evening finding, you know, what was going on with it. And turns out the good Dr. Howard had it all along. Kind of like wrapped on it. And it's just, you know, from people speeding through the streets to, you name it, searching to get this jacket. You know, it's just kind of hilarious how it turned out, you know, with that character. And, you know, a lot of people love the character because it's, you know, we see a lot of times, you know, on TV with all the different shows and, you know, all the different hospital shows, more the serious side of it. But to see the human side in a comedy person, which he really is, too, in real life, it's, like I said, made it kind of hard to pick what was some of my funniest things that happened at Mardi Gras.
Yeah, and
from
course,
that to you know, just the whole thought of how things have changed nowadays with Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. You know, it's a whole different city now.
Oh yeah,
you know,
we've gone through a lot of things, and it's very different. And you know, of course, cocktails are part of the deal. Bourbon Street and cocktails and all of that. And you talk about that. I mean, you got to find the right cocktail and jambalaya for sure, and that's important. And it is about that, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And you know, and as we said too, it's where we've met probably our best friends. Too, you know, during that time, during Mardi Gras, and you're bumping into thousands of people, you know, and this is all pre, you know, the COVID days, pre Katrina. It was just a different world then, you know, and I'm glad that the today's generation in the LGBTQ+ community has really brought it back to the forefront. You know, where people can see and kind of compare it, you know, and contrast it to times, but it's just been an incredible experience doing that, taking that challenge and going from one piece of paper to like I said, the manuscript, then on to us actually publishing it ourselves. And we were the marketing company, distribution, we just us two handled it all.
Right, and the 500 pages, the challenge, like you said, and then to you to go back and do that and talk about the center stages in New Orleans and all the things that happened at the Mardi Gras celebrations and going back and being able to look at that in the 90s, you know, being able to see what was that like. What do you hope people take away when they read to Mardi, and you're saying it, but to Mardi Gras with love? What do you hope they take away? Which you can get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, by the way.
Yeah, I and the other surprising thing is Walmart's now, you know, joining us. And I just hope that, you know, people walk away with the, you know, loving the characters like any other kind of sitcom show or movie or book, you know, regardless of the, you know, the orientation of that person, you know, but that you walk away, you know, loving them, laughing, you know, feeling happy, feeling sad with them, and just kind of looking at certain things, you know, about life a little different, you know, just we're all people, you know, and that's what I love, you know, getting still 25 years later, getting emails and texts from friends and saying how it's helped, you know, this younger person, that younger person to see themselves in a different light, you know, that yes, we can all have that and we all deserve to have that. And so just like turning into a movie, I would love people to walk out of the movie saying, hey, you know what, I need to just relook at the way I was looking at stuff.
Nice.
You know what I mean? And it's we've long, long, long way considering how many sitcoms there are nowadays and movies and stuff, but it's like we still have a long ways to go. And that's what I would love to have, and where we can have it, like a rated PG or whatever, where everybody can see it, kind of like your Will and Grace show, you know, because the book is kind of racy, and I was kind of saying, I didn't even think, I was like, Kate's not old enough to read it. Always tell everybody, you're not old enough to read it.
That's right.
No, when we got requested years ago to send Oprah Winfrey copies, I used a power stapler to staple some of the pages.
Great. I love that. There is such a whimsical feel to the book, and like you said, and it can be such a game changer. And you're the couple, of course, and we're talking about how you weave the tale, Spooky and Harpo. I love those names. They just cracked up. It's very, very, very
funny.
By the
way, in real life, those two characters just celebrated their 29th anniversary on July 29th.
Woohoo! Congratulations on that, and congratulations on really putting this out there. And it shows your books can come alive at any time. There's no question about that.
You
can get to Mardi Gras with love. You can get that, like I said already, Amazon, Walmart, Barnes and Noble. Thanks so much for coming on, Ken.
Oh, thank you so much, Kay. This has been fun, and it's just like a dream come true.
Wow, what a positive person, for sure. And he's right. Mardi Gras and going back to New Orleans decades ago, before Katrina and before a lot of things that have changed Mardi Gras, which I still think is sensational. But when it was let it all hang out, and it was a much, much different kind of celebration, I think, than what we've seen in recent years. The great thing is that it's back, because COVID really played a number on all kinds of big events in this country, and certainly Mardi Gras was absolutely one of those that was affected. Speaking of being affected, this is too big to not mention this. I mentioned in a previous hour, but an Ohio judge ruled that Walmart, CVS, and Walgreens had to pay a combined $650.6 million for damages related to the opioid crisis in two particular areas, two counties, Lake and Trumbull counties, because of what the epidemic was like. The lawsuit was filed several years ago, back in 2018, and alleged that the pharmacies abused their position of special trust and responsibility as registered dispensers of controlled drugs, and they fostered a black market for prescription opioids. This is a huge ruling. These damages are huge. And the judge said this is meant to address a small piece of the terrible and tenacious and escalating national tragedy. Touche, and bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. Simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. Federal health officials say the polio virus was detected in New York State earlier than previously thought. The most recent polio case was reported back in June, but a new CDC study says that it has been circulating in New York since at least April. Dr. Risa Gorlick,
A pediatrician in Rockland County says members of the CDC and local health department met at her office Wednesday to exchange information.
They wanted to assess the community's feelings regarding urgency for vaccination and to share with us the information that they're starting to pick up from our local health department and from nationally.
There are severe water shortages out west.
People in Arizona and Nevada are facing unprecedented water shortages on the Colorado River. There will be less water available next year from the river that serves 40 million people. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Prime.
This is USA Radio News. Hundreds of federal judges face the same task every day: review an affidavit submitted by federal agents and approve requests for a search warrant. But for U.S. Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhardt, the fallout from his decision to approve a search warrant has been far from routine. He has faced a storm of death threats since his signature earlier this month cleared the way for the FBI to search former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate as part of a probe into whether he inappropriately removed sensitive materials from the White House. Reinhardt's home address was posted on right-wing sites along with anti-Semitic slurs. Alaska Republican U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski advanced from her primary along with Kelly Shabika, her GOP rival, endorsed by former President Donald Trump, while another Trump-backed candidate, Republican Sarah Palin, was among the candidates bound for the November general election in the race for Alaska's only House seat. This is USA Radio News.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
I need some extra money. Do I qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Use the EITC Assistant tool. With just a little information, this tool helps you calculate eligibility with ease and accuracy, get an estimate of how much credit you qualify for, and get a printout of your results before you prepare your return or visit your tax preparer. To use the EITC Assistant tool and see if you're eligible to claim the credit, visit irs.gov/EITC.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to command an Air Force Special Operations Combat Air Crew? I can say I have, but in my virtual green room, I have somebody who's actually done it, and we are so thrilled to have him with us. Let me tell you, Jason Harris has a resume that is so long and so impressive, it would eat up every second of this interview, so we can't dive into his entire career. But combat 11 times. He's seen things that I'm sure would make the hair on the back of my neck and yours rise right up. 12 and a half years of active duty. He started on the C-130, and he's done so many interesting things, and he just was promoted, and thank goodness we have him in the reserves. We need people like Jason Harris. Jason, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate. It's an honor to be here.
So first, let's talk about your new promotion. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I was recently honored to assume command of the 905th Air Refueling Squadron at McConnell Air Force Base in Wichita, Kansas. And that unit is comprised of pilots, boom operators, and support team members, where we fly the Air Force's newest tanker, the KC-46, where we get to pass a bunch of gas in the air from our plane to other planes, and we can also receive gas from other airplanes into our airplane to accomplish the mission.
Oh, that's so cool. How dangerous is that? I've seen that like in a Bond movie and it didn't work out too good, I don't think. That is kind of tricky, isn't it?
You know, it's interesting. Like when I get asked that question, because I do it, I'm like, it's no big deal. But then when I start explaining this, I'm like, wait a minute. So here's the deal, man. You're basically going to take an airplane. You're going to fly up. You're going to take a plane that's about 500,000 pounds, and you're going to fly it up to another airplane that's about 400,000 or 500,000 pounds. And you're going to get this little stick that's going to shove into the nose of your aircraft. And you're probably going to be about 20 or so feet, maybe if that, away from this other airplane. And you're going to fly around at about 500 miles an hour while you get gas. It's just easy. It's just another day at the office. Not dangerous at all.
That doesn't sound dangerous. So when you started your career, what was that like when you went into your first C-130? What was that moment like for you?
Well, you know, I think even going before C-130s, Kate, is like pilot training. Pilot training was like one of the most challenging years of my life, because the Air Force says you start on this day and a year later exactly, you will be done. And think of it like this, from pilot training, even when I started flying C-130s, I wasn't legal to rent a car by myself without extra insurance. But the Air Force said, here, kid, here's the keys to a jet. You can fly inches, literally inches away from another jet at 300-400 miles an hour, a couple hundred feet off the ground. Good luck. Have fun. We've trained you well. Right. And so it was scary. It was exhilarating. It was anxious. It was exciting. All of that at the same time. And it was so amazing to realize that I had been entrusted to do this mission and work with a crew of people that were so well trained, so professional. And it was such an amazing time.
Did you know when you were a kid that this is what you wanted to do?
Absolutely not. No. What I tell people, Kate, is that I'm number two of my mother's six children, product of three marriages, four fathers to her six children. I grew up a stone's throw away from the Black Panther Party headquarters in Oakland, California. And so growing up, I had never met a pilot that looked like me. And I didn't realize that being a pilot was even a possibility. It wasn't until I went to college that I realized that, oh, wait, there's this thing called being a pilot. I had seen them, of course. I'd flown on airplanes, but it didn't click, right? I mean, it's like, how do you become a pilot? And so it wasn't until college that I was like, wait, these people were teaching me about being a pilot, and it was a possibility. And so I was like, well, you know what? I think I'll try that on for size.
And it worked out, and it's still working out for you. And I mentioned that you did, 11 combat missions. What were they like?
Yeah, so I did 11 combat deployments, 470-plus combat sorties, and each one was unique in its own right. You know, I started deploying in 2003, and then my last combat deployment was 2011, and everyone was different. Every time you went out to do a mission, there was something different. You know, I remember one mission flying into Baghdad, Iraq, and we're sitting there. We had landed, and we're offloading cargo. We're getting ready to unload cargo. And all of a sudden you hear incoming mortar fire, and a mortar lands and it hits a fuel bladder and it just explodes and you see this massive fireball, right? Like, and that was just kind of like, oh, that's another day at the office. No big deal. We didn't get hit. Let's go ahead and button up the airplane. Let's get out of here and go back to where we got to go next. Right. So,
wow.
Everything was so unique.
Yeah. No kidding. So you take all this experience and you're a professional speaker, and I can just see how you would just mesmerize an audience. And you have a lot to also offer as far as teaching, when it comes to being a leader, when it comes to imposter syndrome. You know, the story you told about your younger, you had no idea, then look what happens to you and how you can do it and just went through and you didn't think about it. So tell us about your speaking career.
Yeah, so I was teaching at the Air Force Academy, and a good friend of mine invited me to come to Toastmasters and then got me involved with the National Speakers Association. And we started talking, and he started asking me about these different stories that I would tell. And over the course of time, I realized that there was some power in those stories to help other people based on some of the things that I struggled with and based on some of the things that I experienced in leadership roles as well as in followership roles. And so I took those lessons of the amazing people that I worked with in the Air Force, and I began to translate those stories for businesses, for associations, to help them when it comes to their frontline employees, middle management, C-suite and team members. And how do you get a high-performance team to work together to create a culture that's built on commitment, accountability, and most importantly, trust?
I was just going to get to that. So trust is definitely your thing, and that's definitely something that I see that's lacking in a lot of cultures, whether it's somebody in mid-management, C-suite, or wherever it is. How important is trust?
Trust is everything. I mean, you know, they say trust is everything. It's the only thing. You know, when we go out there to do the mission, I have to trust that young person in the back. And I want you to picture this, Kate. Picture you have a 17, 18, 19-year-old kid or young person fresh out of high school. They've entered the military, and now they're a load master in the back of that airplane, and they're responsible for more than 80% of that aircraft. And if they don't do it right, then not only will the mission not get completed, people can possibly lose their lives. And the only way that we can make that mission happen, the only way we can execute what we do every single day is by trusting people. But you don't get to the level of trust that you need if you don't have the right training in place and you don't have the right processes in place to then allow you to be able to trust that person. And yes, we trust and verify. However, if you've got the right training and the right process, you know that you can absolutely unequivocally trust that young person to execute the mission.
So that's obviously something that has to happen or might be lacking in some companies, or they're working on it. You hear the word mentorship thrown around a lot, but I don't know that they always know how to implement it. And I'm not attacking companies, because there's some corporations that do a wonderful job of it. And of course, there's always the search, the mission to search for the right. You understand missions. It's the search for the right fit. How do we do this? How do we implement that? How do you implement that? How do you get to that culture of trust? How do you start to work on that if you really feel like you're maybe at ground zero or you have a lack of trust across the board?
Yeah, I think it starts with just assessing the programs that you have, Kate, right? What I tell companies that I work with, different clients, I say, you guys have obviously hired the right people. And a lot of times we think maybe we didn't hire the right people. No, you hired the right people. But when is the last time that you evaluated what your training program looks like? And a lot of times they go, oh, well, we just do OJT. Well, let's start with the onboarding program. When's the last time you evaluated what that initial onboarding training program looks like? In the military, that's called our basic training. That allows us to speak a common language. That allows us to understand the common culture, right? To understand the ethos of who we are as an organization, as a team. And then after you reevaluate the training, then what does that process look like? And if we just start there, and so what happens, and my wife and I, we talk about this all the time when we have these various encounters in organizations. You know, when's the last time you called somewhere and you had a phone call, Kate, and you're like calling a medical facility or a hotel or something, and you want to be upset with that young person or that person, whoever they are and however they old they are, but then you step back and go, wait a minute, maybe they haven't been properly trained. Maybe they don't have a process that supports that training so that every time they get on that phone or every time they deal with somebody at that desk, that they do it well and they do it with a level of commitment, a level of accountability. So that's where that implementation starts at, is just evaluating what your programs look like, and then we can begin to build from there.
Yes, yeah, so starting right at the beginning, because if you don't have it at the beginning, I could go through whatever program it is, but if there's no accountability, that's a great one. No accountability, well, how do we know what's happening? And if I don't have a routine and I don't know this is standard operating procedure, which you understand that, if you don't have the SOP, what's going to happen, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, as an airline pilot, people are amazed. What I say, Kate, is that I have shown up to the airplane, never having flown to that destination, never having met that fellow pilot before a day in my life. And guess what? There's a 200,000-pound airplane, and there's 200 people in the back of that airplane, and they trust that we will get them there safely. And the company trusts that we will execute that job safely. Why and how can we do that? It's because they've provided us with the right training, and they provided us with the right processes by way of a standard operating procedure, by way of checklists and other things that allows us to implement that training every single time.
Yeah, that's the key. All right, Jason, so if people want to find you when your feet are on the ground anyway, where can they do that?
They can absolutely find me. My website is nofailtrust.com. If you go to nofailtrust.com, you'll find a little bit of her information about me. And if you want to email me, feel free to email me at jason@nofailtrust.com. And you can also send me a text, call at 719-203-7257.
All right. People are going to be calling you for rides. I know it. Come on, take me up. I want to go for that big bird. It was just wonderful to have you on the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's a pleasure and honor, and I appreciate you so much.
Do you have those those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Wow, Kenneth Stewart joins us from Perth, Australia, and he's written some books that will just pull you in. They're the kind of books that I say you get on a plane and you hope that the plane gets stuck and has to circle around a couple of times because you want to finish just one more chapter seriously. And it's a novel. It's you know, seriously. The story pulls you in. The idea of, wow, could this happen even maybe where I am, depending on where you live? So we are pleased to talk to him as we go again to Australia. So thanks, Ken, for coming on.
Hi. How is everyone?
The two books that you wrote, Devlin Poole and then the sequel, Batavia Shores, how did you think, I mean, we talked off the air briefly, you were a family historian for four decades. Did you see yourself being a novelist?
No, as a family historian, I enjoyed writing little plot of histories of what the family were doing as they sort of came out to Australia or when they were back in England, whatever. So I didn't think I'd ever go into fiction. But when I retired, I had something to do, so I sat down and started trying my hand at a fiction book. And that's where Devlin Poole came from, just a fiction book.
Yeah, so Devlin Poole, when you came up with the idea and the inspiration for that, did it just hit you and did you know, oh, this is a good idea for a book. I have the start of a book in my head.
Yeah. We used to do a lot of walking around the south of Geraldton, around the Greenough Flats and whatever. and there was this place in the Grenith River area where the whole area had this feeling about it. It was chilly. So I just had a look around the place and found that it was upriver from the Grenith River mouth, and it was at the end of the Grenith Flats. And I found out that the Grenith Flats had an area where the settlers and the Aboriginals always had a bit of an argument. And there was a bit of a tradition that maybe there was a battle in that area. So I thought this is a good idea to start putting into a book. And then I brought in that there were some robbers who stole a cask off a ship, went upriver, and they had an argument. And then the third thing came in was some bikies turned up, and they had an argument. And I thought this spot would be the good place to put this triple argument. So there was a digging that they found a body. And as they started to dig the body, they found some bones. And as they dig these bones, they found some more bones. So there I put all three of the events, the robbers, the Aboriginals, and the bikies, into the one spot. And it's still chilly whenever you go that area.
Ooh. You have two detectives in the book that then carry on to the sequel. Tell us about the two detectives.
Well, Barney's a young bloke, and he plays football for the local sides. He's quite talented. He's amenable to everyone, but he's a detective, so he has the occasional argument with people and others. And Zepp's an old married bloke with kids that are at school, and so he has to sort of look after the family as well as looking after Barney. So the two of them get along quite well. They're both quite character people, bit around me.
I like it. They are entertaining. And then you take it over. We move from Devlin Pool and we go to Batavia Shores. And tell us about that.
Well, Batavia Shores is more based around the offshore island of Batavia. The Dutch were sending ships out to the West East Indies. Bit of an argument on the boat between a couple of blokes, so they end up being marooned into the shores of Geraldton. So they're part of the early part of it. What's next? There's other areas that come in. Mind blank. Sorry.
Which is okay, because we don't want to give everything away, and because this is the sequel. But, you know, after you go from the chilliness of the spot and the bones and, you know, going through Vikings, etc., then you carry on and take the two detectives with you and with us in reading the sequel. So I think that we as readers and anybody listening to this who ends up getting Ken's books, that's what it is. You carry it over. It's almost like in your, you know, you were a family historian. Where does the history go? And you take us again through this on another journey, on another sort of a plot line, a different plot line, but another journey that's very, very interesting. And then it's enough that you had the two books that you've got a third one that you're working on right now.
I've basically finished the third one, but it needs a bit more extension. And the third one's to do with Barney and Zepp again, who are running around in Geraldton. But I've thrown this one as a prequel. So it's when Barney first turns up in Geraldton. So they're just feeling each other out and sorting things out that way.
Are they your favorite characters, both of them, or is one or the other
more? Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Oh, they're easy to work around because, I've fairly well developed the characters so that they've both got their own ideas, and Zepp's always picking on Barney and Barney's always picking on Zepp.
And see, that again, that makes it what's interesting is, as we see when we watch Netflix or we watch any kind of a series that hooks us in, to me they're like novels where you could have a prequel, you could have another sequel, you could go for a trilogy. So who knows where you go from here, but I have a feeling you're not going to stop writing.
It's a bit hard to. Once you get started, there's always things you want to say again. So I haven't thought of a plot for a fourth book yet, but I'm still trying to think of one.
All right. Well, I don't know. Maybe the listeners will have some ideas. Maybe I'll solicit that on the air. You never know. What do you hope the people listening to this interview take away from if they get your book, which we hope they do, you know, go to Amazon, get the book, and enjoy it. What do you hope they take away from reading the books?
I hope they're purely entertained. That's all the books are about, just entertainment.
And I can tell that you've had a lot of fun doing this, like you said, that obviously that you don't know what the next plot is after the third book, but you know that there's another plot inside you. So you really enjoy doing this.
Oh, yeah, it's great fun. Yeah.
Does that mean that we don't catch you back in the other world of family history, or sometimes does someone pull you back into that?
Well, there was a thing. One of my little potted pamphlets that I wrote, I suppose, 30 years ago, I expanded that out and made a book out of that, but it's for family only. So it's basically the story of my great-grandmother, who was born in Berkshire, married in Bengal in Northern Ireland, children in Clydebank in Scotland, pioneered Western Australia outback, and then died in Perth. So I expanded all the life and times around her. So the kids she had, the brothers and sisters she had, the family she had. So that became, basically, it's a fact book, but I had to put a bit of fiction in there when I ran out of bits and pieces that I didn't know about. So it's a factual fiction.
I like that, factual fiction. Ken Stewart, you are a delight. It's been so much fun talking to you. Again, you can get all of his work on Amazon, except for The Family Secrets. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot, Kate.
What a delight to talk to Ken and talk about detectives. Detective novels and fiction are so, so popular. I think we're just pulled into it seriously. And I was thinking about the first detective fiction. And I looked something up the other day when I was thinking about Ken. Crime historians, you know, those who are looking back, crime writers looking back on history, so I'll call them crime writing historians. I think somebody else used that name. They give Edgar Allan Poe big, big love and credit for coming up with the first modern detective story back in 1841. Poe had Murders in the Rue Morgue, which was set in Paris. And so I was just wondering aloud to myself, I wonder if this is even an inspiration for Ken. And his two detectives are quite interesting characters, you know, kind of, I think of Perry Mason, Ironside, Columbo, and I think of his two blokes, and I would kind of put them in that category. So anyway, thanks to Ken, and thanks to all of you for hanging with us. Remember, make it count, everybody.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.